morning, beginning with the prelude from Ruth and Rosemary. I haven't heard you for a while, so I'm looking forward to it. Unitarian Universalist Society. I don't know if we have any guests or visitors today, but if we do, you'll have a chance later on to introduce yourself if you want to. And by way of introduction, I am Sandy Ingham. I am Prairie's minister. But we always encourage you, if this is your first time or one of your first times, to come more than once, because our services can be very, well, our services are different. Every morning, Sunday. Sometimes I do the service. Sometimes we do an intergenerational one. Sometimes we have speakers from outside the congregation. Prairie aspires to be both open-hearted and open-minded. We welcome people here of every ethnic and religious background, no matter your sexual orientation, your gender identification, whatever your color, your family structure, your abilities or disabilities, we try to be welcoming. We have several announcements, so well, maybe not that many. Please take time, oh, this from our wonderful, not sure what to call you, Kathy, curator of art. We have some new things, so please take the time, perhaps a little later on, to enjoy our children's artwork on the wall and the table. The table right behind me? Oh, on the wall. Anyway, come up and enjoy. Kathy says she apologizes in advance for any errors in artwork orientation. spoken like a true curator, Kathy. Okay. If we all pull together, this from Al Nettleton, which is always a good opening, if we all pull together, how about helping pull the leafy sponge? Spurge. I know that word. Spurge from our prairie outside, of course, after the service. And the kids were already working on that. Thank you, kids. Young people. And, not understanding why there were weeds on the podium. And you know, being in my usual rush at the beginning of the service, I put these somewhere else. But this is what they look like. All right. The offering this morning will be shared with Omega School, and you can read about it here in your order of service. I'm always amazed at what our social action committee keeps, the organizations that they find, the local ones. I had never heard of Omega School, I'm embarrassed to say. I am still going to attempt to have after church forums, after fellowship discussions, whatever you want to call them, on the last Sunday of the month, but not today. A couple of meetings are happening that weren't originally scheduled, and also it's a holiday weekend. And we won't do it next month because I'll be at General Assembly the last Sunday of the month. But we'll try again in July. We'll just keep trying. It takes a while to start a new tradition. And the only other thing I want to point out is also written, is remember that, is that a week from today? The read, the common read, Unitarian Universalists in our area will gather at 6:30 at James Reeb. If you want directions, you can find that on the internet or you can ask me. We'll discuss the book. Actually, I was pleasantly surprised to find that it was only about that big. Not because I don't like to read, but because, you know, time is precious. But it's an intense book. Print's pretty big, too. These, then, are the opening words from Unitarian Universalist minister Richard Gilbert. We bid you welcome, who come with weary spirit seeking rest, who come with troubles that are too much with you, who come hurt and afraid. We bid you welcome, who come with hope in your heart, who come with anticipation in your step, who come proud and joyous. We bid you welcome, who are seekers of a new faith, who come to probe and explore, who come to learn. We bid you welcome, who enter this hall as a homecoming, who have found here room for your spirit, who find in this people a family, whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you are, on your journey, we bid you welcome. Please join me in singing hymn number 361. Stand as you are willing and able to do so. Have a very special chalice lighting. We invite the Hogwarts class folks to come up for that.
She's going to do the light it while we do the words. Maybe we should go up on the stage so they can see you
and hear you.
Okay. We light this goblet of fire with open minds, loving hearts, and willing hands. We will use the magic of our creativity to make the world a better place. We are Dumbledore's army. We are Rock House.
Thank you. Don't go too far, Hogwarts folks. It's time for the story. Anybody who wants to come up, no matter your age, your chronological age, come right on up. Hi.
Let's see. Oh, good. A couple of people who might know the answer to my question. My next question. Do you know what the word transitions means?
Yes.
What? Can you tell me?
Who said yes?
Whoa.
I know. We're going to look at more pictures in a minute. You guys know,
probably.
It's change, or things turning into something else. And change happens every day, doesn't it? And this story, even if you're not moving up into like high school or anything, all of you are changing your what you study, either at home, school, for next year, or the grades you are in class. Well, almost all of you. Some of you aren't in school yet. This is a story that is about someone who decided he was not too old to change. It's about Mr. George Baker. See this man? This one here? Sitting on the porch. That's Mr. George Baker, and he's 100 years old. No kidding. Hurry up! Hurry up, Mr. Harry! Hurry up! Mr. Harry, in charge! The little boy telling the story is named Harry. That's George, all snappy and happy in the morning. He always says, hurry up, Harry, hurry up, Harry, when I'm crossing the lawns between his house and mine. And he's always there first because he's always out there waiting for me. He's sitting on the porch. See his pants, his baggy, baggy pants. I love his pants. I couldn't figure out what held them up for a long time. He wears suspenders. You know what suspenders are? They kind of hook to your pants on the front and the back. And there's not a good picture in here of his suspenders.
Bill.
Oh, Bill, of course. We have suspenders in the audience. Rainbow suspenders. And guess what? There's pants in these pockets. And what's in the pocket pants? Chocolate candy. So, Mr. George, Black Baker, and I eat some candy, and we sit on the porch, and we chew. I like his crumpled hat, and I like his shoes. They're crumpled, too, and they have really long laces, and they never come undone, and my laces always come undone. And Mr. George Baker said, we can take care of that, and he ties my shoes in double knots, my shoelaces, and they don't come undone. See this man here? He has a red backpack, a red book bag, and it's just like mine. And we're going to find out what's in that bag. There is a book in his book bag. Pardon? It's a book bag? Well, I call it a backpack, but it can also be called a book bag. But remember, you all, you don't know this. He can't read. Mr. George can't read. He's 100 years old, and he never learned to read. And he said, that must be corrected. So they sit. And here he says, I like his sweater, too. It just kind of hangs there with lots of buttons on it. And it's chilly this morning. Now, this gives us a clue about what time of year it is. They're sitting on the porch, and what's falling around?
Leaves.
It's fall. Lots of leaves. Yes, it must be the fall. Yes. Now the screen door creaks, and out comes Mrs. George Baker. Some people say she's 90. Well, here you are, Harry, looking after my George. And she puts a lunch sack down beside George for him to have later. She kisses him on the top of his head and says, for the man I love. Why, Mrs. B, you flatter me. George gets up all crooked and slow, and he takes her hand, and they start dance.
And then Mrs. Baker gives a wave and a wink. Goodbye, be good, she says, and she goes back in the house. And we sit down and we keep waiting, side by side. Now here's something you don't know about Mr. George Baker. He's got crookedy fingers. A lot of us get crookedy fingers when we get older. But they're often going tappity-tap, tappity-tap, tappity-tappity-tappity-boom, tappity-boom, tappity-boom, tap. Because Mr. George Baker is a drummer. And people say he was a famous drummer. And he often sits on his porch and he drums at night, and people come from down the road and up the road, and they all gather around to listen to Mr. George Baker. And this reminds me of Clyde Stubblefield, a famous baker, a famous drummer in Madison. Shh, listen. George gets up, slowly starts walking down the sidewalk. He takes my hand, I take his hand. Here comes the school bus. Morning, says the driver. We've been waiting, says George. There are 22 children on the bus, plus four grown-ups, and everyone wants to sit by George. Pick me, sit here, sit here. But George always, always sits by me. See this man? This is Mr. George Baker again. In room 7, he's sitting at a desk. He's 100 years old, no kidding. And he's learning to read with some other adults in the class. And I'm learning to read in the very next room. It's hard for me, Harry says. It's hard for me too, says George Baker, but we can do it. We will do it. Our books are green. His lips move as he sounds out the words, and he's always going tappity tap, tappity tap, tappity boom, tappity tap. It's a change, no matter what age you are. Now, we're not singing you out, because you're not going out. You're going to stay up here with us this morning, and so I invite you to go back to your seat. Okay, and I invite anyone who wishes to share joys and concerns to do so now, but please try to keep them brief, because we never know how many people might want to share. Cindy?
Hi. I would like to share a sorrow, because my partner, Doug, he was hospitalized for a medical emergency. But I would like to also share a joy in that he can have visitors now, and he's at a select specialty hospital. And I want to thank the caring committee and my prairie friends for all the support and offers of help they've given us. So thank you.
Thank you, Cindy.
While all that was going on, I was in Germany with the Madison Symphony Chorus. We sang the Brahms' German Requiem in 3 different cities with 2 different orchestras and an organ. And each time we had, that were from the German cities we were at, and German singers sang with us. So it was an incredible experience. And we also got to do some touring too, so that was fun. And one of the German women said to me, "We expected you to sound like Americans, but you actually," she said, "your German pronunciation is better than ours." So we were thrilled, because we really worked hard on that.
Mechie?
I've only been gone a week, but it feels like a month. You all had your regular weeks. I was in Texas visiting my brother, whom I hadn't seen in about 5 years. So it was pretty wonderful.
Good. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I got an email late last night that Warren Hagstrom, the widower of our beloved Lita, is in the hospital in rooms either 262 or 62.
He's at Meritor.
He's at Meritor.
To check when you
so
go to see where he
if
is.
If somebody would like to come by, that would be great.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's part of what you were going to say.
Yes, I was going to say that. We have And also that I got a note from Terry Prudlow yesterday
yes.
that Tony had had emergency surgery, her husband. She was expecting he would be back home by now. There are cards on the table
thank you, Marlene.
Doug and for Warren. And Warren had his 87th birthday
yes.
yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's a birthday card for Warren. But write large enough so someone can read to him. He can no longer, his vision does not allow him to read anymore. And for Doug, which ones did I say? Anyway, for all three of them.
Terry and Tony.
And we did visit Warren yesterday afternoon, so if you want to, he's not really up for much visiting, but if you want to check in with me afterward, that would be good.
I talked to Terry and Tony yesterday, and they're tired.
Yeah.
And they don't want any visitors quite yet.
I've got a joy. I got a job for the summer. One day a week, I'm going to be doing childcare for the lady who cuts my hair.
All right.
And she has a new baby, so it's
oh.
So the baby's very cute, and that's going to be fun.
All right. Good for you, Jesse. A newborn.
Well, this apparently is the week of emergency surgery. Not me, but my brother-in-law, Jim Horton, in North Carolina, had emergency upper abdominal surgery Monday morning, and amazingly was out of the hospital on Wednesday. And I said, is this some kind of record? And my sister said, well, they were able to do it laparoscopically, so otherwise he would have been a lot longer, but he's at home and recovering.
Good. All right. First of all, like to thank, I think this was probably Penny, whoever put the new candles up there. Not struggling so much. I would like to light a candle in honor of Memorial Day. And then I ask that we keep all the joys and concerns, spoken and unspoken, in our hearts and minds during the coming week. And Holly, turning it over to you.
Well, it looks like on the order of service, the next thing is class presentation. So I think there are some Jedis lurking in the hallway. Maybe? You didn't know they were there because they're Jedis.
Several of us had the honor of working with the Padawans this year. Okay. We're okay right here, right? Carl Wacker, Steve Hinkle, Rick Recking, and Deesa Pence all got to work with the Jedi. And in the Jedi Academy, we did do some social justice work. We did some, you might remember a skit we did to kick off a refugee relief project. We also learned about the religions of the planet Earth. But our main focus was on self-control and respect in our interactions with each other. And we had a system that Holly helped us come up with, which was excellent, where everybody had these bands, which were called the bands of self-control. And you started the class with several bands, and if you lost your self-control, you lost a band. And then we had a tracking system in the book of self-control, which there were rewards if you held on to your bands. They involved chocolate, so they were very motivating. Oh, Eileen asked an excellent question. What age group was this? This was fourth and fifth grade. So I'm going to ask Master Randy, I didn't mention Master Randy before, to come forward. And we had nine Padawans in the class, but only two are present today because of the holiday weekend. But they're going to demonstrate for you some of what they've learned, and especially their excellent self-control.
The first honoree is Harlan. Chinese name is Jun Kin, and it means loyalty and patience. Step forward, please.
Go ahead.
There we go, I did. Great. Congratulations.
Our next honoree is Rowan, Chinese name Mai, and it means humor. Please conform.
Peace and justice in the galaxy.
May the force be with you.
Can you hear? Yeah, I'm on it. Okay, so Aiden, who's Jedi name was Zigi Nua, meaning strength, skill, and love for nature. And they picked their own names and the meanings. Ava, whose Jedi name is Ava, meaning cleverness. Charlie, Han Ji Zay, meaning cleverness, skill, and strength. Faith, Ji Lu, skill and trust. Liam, Zay Mai Ji, strength, humor, self-control. Sarah, Huan Chu, cleverness and loyalty. Simon, Zi Ko Nui, strength, wisdom, and creativity. And Torin, Zay Gi, strength and skill.
Today to celebrate transitions, as Sandy said during the children's story, the story for all ages. And as she said, that can mean a lot of things. Supporting transitions, in essence, mean change from one thing to another, movement. And what we hope to provide here at Prairie is the constant community of acceptance while that movement is happening. And I'm so happy to be here every year. I'm finishing my third year, went by fast, doing this work. When I was out as a parent looking for a community for my own children, what I wanted more than anything was a program that was responsive to my needs and the needs of my children, and that is what I'm always working to provide here. So I hope that you feel that way. I hope that our families feel that way, and I hope the rest of you feel that way. The main reason we're here is to honor transitions, as I said, and so we're going to begin that transition celebration with a celebration of one of our students who's transitioning from 8th grade to 9th grade, moving to high school. It's a big transition, and that student is Cecilia Richards, and she has a beautiful song called Firefly that she's going to play for us on her violin. So let's settle in and listen to that.
Thank you.
students, but today we're going to be honoring Cecilia. So I wanted to say a few things that I've come to really enjoy about Cecilia over the 3 years that I've gotten to know her. If you need somebody who's ready with a dry joke, this is your girl. But she also is, whenever there's a question, she's not quick to give her opinion. She has a thoughtful response, and I've found her thoughtful responses to be very helpful in the time that I've gotten to know her. When she says something, it's something that often I haven't thought of, and I've really valued that. She's a level head in a situation where things might be getting a little crazy, and she's a really great problem solver. She's actually the go-to person when I can't figure out the computer. I just kind of shriek her name into the abyss, and she comes out and helps me. So as we like to do when we're honoring our transition students, we have a few questions about Cecilia to help you get to know her better. They are true or false questions. This audience participation is encouraged. So I'm going to read you the question. You'll decide if you think it's true or false. There's no need to shout. You can just murmur it to yourself, unless you feel so moved. Okay, so number one. When Cecilia was 4 and a half, she asked to be in karate. Her mom said, okay, when you are 5, thinking that she would forget about it. On her 5th birthday, she said, when am I going to karate? True or false? What do you think?
True.
It's true. Yeah, and now she's a black belt and an assistant instructor.
Oh, wow.
When she was 3, she asked to get her hair cut. She got a short bob, but she told the stylist she wanted it shorter. She'd already gotten about 12 inches cut off, so her parents told her she could come back after she thought it over. So they went home and she cut off all of her hair. True or false?
It's true.
It
was like weird bangs and like fall.
She means what she says. She is an excellent cook, especially with the microwave. She's an excellent cook, especially with the microwave.
It has to be true.
True or false?
True.
I think it's false.
That's really false. So I can cook anything in like the anywhere else except in the microwave. I burn everything.
Okay, her favorite type of book is a graphic novel.
It's true.
True. There's so many good ones. She wants to be a doctor when she grows up.
It's false.
She says you have no idea what you want to be, but you're sure it's not a doctor.
Yeah.
She is an introvert.
It's true.
She faked you all out by standing up here and doing so well.
It's true, though my mom says I've learned not to be.
She loves traveling, and her favorite place to visit is Costa Rica.
False, I've never been to Costa Rica.
She does love traveling. You do love traveling.
I do love traveling.
But she likes Canada. Yeah, these were trick questions. Jane is good at writing the true-false questions. Okay, the door of her closet is a TARDIS. True or false? A TARDIS. A Doctor Who reference.
It's true. My mom painted it. Very well done.
Her favorite food is cheese.
False.
It's false.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of dairy?
No.
Okay.
What is your favorite food?
Right now, I think it's pot stickers, but I don't know.
Okay, now for the last question, we're going to go off script a little bit. Which of the following activities does Cece not participate in? Magic Club, Ultimate Frisbee, Mad Fiddle, Violin, Youth Choir, or Ice Skating?
Ice Skating.
They call it.
It's Ice Skating. I do all of those except that one. Probably, right?
So let's please join me in giving Cecilia the best wishes as she transitions this summer from middle school into high school, and we hope to see more of your shiny face.
Thank you.
And now it's the time where we cross our fingers and hope the technology works. We made a slideshow. At the end of the year, it's really so much fun to go through the few pictures I've taken and the several thousand that Carl has taken throughout the year and pick just enough to fit into a 3-minute and 28-second song. I try really hard to make sure I have pictures of everyone, which is challenging. to be sure, but this year many of the middle and high schoolers eluded me and somehow even Carl, so I hereby give them notice that next year they might find me lurking behind the futon with the camera in hand or racing Carl down the sidewalk to get the best paparazzi hideout in the bushes before they leave class. At any rate, we did manage to capture a lot of cute faces, so everybody cross your fingers for technology.
So I'll be able to see it at least. I think it's. All right. Just kids, but a lot of great adults came down to help us out. And we're going to talk and say thank you to them a little bit later. But now we're going to take a look ahead. And I cannot see the trade, so we're on the front slide, right? So transitions, as we said, are exciting. We honor the students who are making transitions this spring. And so too, it is time for Ari to undergo a transition of its own. Switch. Our mission remains the same. We aspire to provide an inclusive, responsive, and progressive educational experience. Am I right?
Yeah, you are. I'm good.
Okay. And we want to build a strong community-based resource by providing enriching opportunities for students to connect with social justice develop their own spiritual identity, and engage with the diverse world of which they are a part. Next slide. Keep the things that are working, as in any transition, and challenge and address some of the challenges that we are noticing as we move through our time together in RE. So some of those challenges are, we're looking to increase our student engagement and excitement. We want to more widely distribute teaching opportunities to include more people who are interested in participating. We want to provide students with choices over how they engage in the program. And we want to lessen the burden for families to participate in special programming by opening up Sunday mornings for things like OWL or Coming of Age. And we want to utilize the best parts of all the different curricula that we've purchased over the years to include the best parts and maybe not worry about the parts that weren't working for us before. We want to tap into the wisdom and passions and expertise of our congregation at large by rebranding RE into a school of the Spirit for all ages. Okay, so I think if we're on
the changes that come.
Yeah, okay. So
is this the right one? Or
yeah.
Is it,
okay. Yeah, that works.
What we do.
Yeah, so before the slide before that was what we had going on this year. We had age segregated classrooms. We had a pre-K through K. Yep. Second, third grade was Hogwarts. Fourth and fifth was Jedi Academy. Sixth to eighth grade did podcasts and projects, and the ninth to 12th group did compass points. They finished that up after 3 years.
Yay.
Woo, a 1 year curriculum. They really got in depth into them. Okay, and so the next year, what we're looking at is, we're gonna keep the Prairie Play for the youngest kids. We'll talk a little bit about that. First to eighth grade are going to move into a Spirit Jam workshop model, and ninth to 12th will be participating in a curriculum called Popcorn Theology, which is as fun as it sounds. Prairie Play for our youngest kids is really best summed up by a quote from Maria Montessori, who said, play is the work of children, okay? And so students will participate in a play-based, story-centric experience, engaging with a monthly theme. The teachers will help them make meaning of big questions and engage with UU identity and social justice and world religions through play and stories, and with each other as well. Spirit Jam workshops are for grades 1 through 8 with room for movement, you know, and we want people to feel like they have a choice to go where they want to go. So the workshops, Spirit Jams are multi-age 15 to 30 minute explorations of a monthly theme for mind, body, and spirit. They are based on a program that's very popular at Boulder Valley UU it's developed by Katie Covey, who's somewhat of a rock star in the DRE world. I'll just have to take my word for that, but she's a DRE rock star. And she has created this program that is highlights student choice and allows flexibility for people who would like to participate. On the last Sunday of the month, we're planning, just like we did this year, to take our learning outside of our traditional model and do field trips. Why are we doing those things? I mentioned some of the goals before, but we want to align religious education with thematic programming. That's a big deal in the UU world right now, thematic learning, tying it in with bigger, broader themes. And we want to continue to be a progressive program as things change around us in the UU community. And we want to increase our pool of volunteers and empower our students to engage with the ideas they learn here in their own unique and vital way. So what would a typical Sunday look like for the Spirit Jams? 15 minutes or less of a whole group in which we do the typical things, the chalice lighting, the opening words, the daily reflection, then 30 minutes for jam time, and then 5 to 10 minutes of silent meditation, reflection, sharing time. Popcorn Theology is actually a curriculum written by the same author who wrote Compass Points. So I met her this year at I went to the
an RE conference. I met her and spoke with her about the program, and it's really exciting. She's built an 18-session curriculum around popular movies that allow students, it's why it's called popcorn theology. So you watch movie clips and you engage with each other on questions, issues of theological and ethical relevance to Unitarian Universalists. If any adults are interested in that, we are really excited to include rotating people to come in and have conversations about these movies. So keep an eye on the calendar so you can see what clips they'll be showing. Each session includes discussion questions and at least one activity. And on the last Saturday of the month, we're hoping that their oldest students will be up here taking part in the service and even helping to plan along with the program committee. Some special programming that's coming up next year. You may remember this year we ran an OWL, a 90-minute session OWL for 7th and 9th grade. This fall we'll run a 4th to 6th OWL, which we'll be able to run on a Sunday morning. OWL is a comprehensive sexuality-based program that was created in conjunction with the UUA and the UCC churches. I had one parent when I told her, guess what, we're going to be doing OWL on Sunday mornings this year. She actually hugged me. So happy that there wasn't going to have to be extra trips into town. And then we're looking to develop a middle school coming of age program. If you're at all interested in getting involved in some of these changes, now is a really good time. I'm going to be holding two workshops for adults this summer to just kind of show you what a jam might look like, how you can use this format to share what you're interested in. I've spoken with Bob Park about we're going to have a recording station, so kids may be asking to interview some of you for a great story, a great listen type experience. We'll have a trivia jam that happens periodically. We'll have a lot of fun things, and the time commitment will be small, and it will really play upon your interests and your strengths. So keep an eye on that. And this is really what we kind of live by downstairs in RE. Everyone you meet has something valuable to teach you in that those past ages. Okay. So now we come to the time to thank the people who made our programming so possible this year. So before we start, I'd like to call up four people in particular: Paula, Karen, Carl, and Randy. If you could come up to the front of the room so I can embarrass you. These four, I know you'll notice and you'll know why I'm calling them up. They're always available to me when I give them a call. They're always ready to help me, and they bend over backwards. Carl has helped so much with the outdoor classroom. Anytime I have an idea about the outdoor classroom, Carl is on it. We have the sink out there, and he helped with the stump circle, as did Paula, and so many things. If you haven't checked out the outdoor classroom, you should go check it out. It's very cool. Karen is vital in OWL planning and helping out with OWL, not to mention not blushing. She's really good at that part of OWL. And she's on the RE committee, as is Carl. And anytime I need help, Karen is ready to help me out. Paula is the RE committee chair. She's also on the committee. And she's like the resident dirt blaster. Like, no mess goes unnoticed. And the closet cleaner and the person who's taking care of the stuff that the rest of us might not want to think about, but is vital and necessary to having a wonderful program down there. And Randy also steps up at OWL, also an unflappable presence in the OWL program, and wonderful with our youngest kids. And as you can see, he played multiple roles. He also worked for the Jedi class. So as a special thank you for these four, I wrote an acrostic poem for each of them. And so Paula's is first. Okay, Paula. Paula is so passionate. She loves RE, and she's always there, and she's always ready to help out whenever, whatever is needed, even if it's not the most fun job. She's attentive. I'm a big picture kind of person, and I could not do this without Paula, who's always, but did you think about? Oh, no, I didn't think about that. Thank you so much. She is unmatched in her loyalty to our program and her dedication to making sure that kids feel safe and that they are learning something down there. Laudable. We should all be giving a big, big hand, a round of applause for Paula. Go for it. She She's a tireless worker for RE and adaptable. She is always ready to change when the need arises. Thank you, Paula. Hey, Karen. Karen is keen. Kay was hard. She is excited about my new ideas. She's like, yeah, let's go for it. And that's a really great presence to have. Accessible. I can always access her. I can text her. I can call her. I can email her. I can shout at her from across the room. And I can always find her and ask her questions. Resourceful. Oh, my goodness. Thinking on the fly is her superpower. And I have utilized it many times. Easygoing, that comes into play across the board with OWL and in regular RE. There's just nothing that can mess with her. Going with the flow is her middle name. And nonpareil, I looked that word up. And it is a good word that means unparalleled, right? And that is enough said about here. Carl is cool as a cucumber. Like, every kid in there has tried at some point to just, you know, rattle Carl. It just doesn't happen. A for able. You need a sandbox built? Carl. You need a water hooked up from your hose? Carl. He does it. If it needs to be done, he can do it. Relaxed. It's very hard to ruffle Carl. He is just zen, which is why he was a perfect Jedi master. And ludic. I had to look that one up. Does anybody know what it means? Ludic. It does mean playful. Yeah. Playful and spontaneous, and kids love that stuff. Yeah. So I'm giving you a vocabulary lesson, too. Okay. Randy. Yay, Carl. Randy. Randy is receptive to all the new ideas that we have for him. He is thoughtful in his responses, and he's open to change, and that's really a gift. Adept, quickly moves from one idea to the next when it's necessary. Very helpful, whether it's small wiggly kids or big kids with bigger questions. Randy's got it covered. Noetic, that was my word I looked up for this one. Does anybody know what noetic means? It means of or related to the brain. So he always gives thoughtful responses to requests for advice in different perspectives. Dauntless, you cannot take Randy down. He just rolls with everything that happens.
Have your sword.
And yogic. It was a bit of a stretch on that one. But Randy's flexibility is a big asset to the program and to everybody that he works with. So, Randy.
Okay, well, I'll give the mic back to Holly in a minute. But she didn't know that the RE committee has a little something for her. Paula's neighbor has a chocolate company, and then there's a card with something in it, too. But we just, over on the side, came up with something for Holly. We didn't come up with any words quite as good as noetic or ludic. But H is happy. Because Holly is such a cheerful person. O is outrageous. She does have some crazy ideas. LL is lively and loving. And Y is youthful.
You notice there was some form of receptive on every person's thing is because of all those crazy ideas. I have a crazy idea. Thank you very much. Okay, but we had so many other people who helped out in RE this year, too, so I'd like to call up the RE students to take these vases of flowers, and when I call your name, if you're here, if you could stand up and get a flower for recognition. Rowan, 90. Anybody else? Jesse? Yeah. Any other student who wants to pass out flowers? Thank you. Okay? So when I call your name, please stand up. Robin Proud. Everybody who's standing gets a flower. Rachel Long. Molly Plunkett. Barb Park, Maya Hazlett, Rebecca Strom, Linda Sheehy, Steve Hingle, Rick Recking, Apple Bodimer, Deesa Pence, Nancy Wonderland, Cheryl Robinson. We can go down the aisle. Give out some flowers. Pass out flowers. Yeah. Kathy Converse. Aaron Bosch. Barbara Chatterton, I think they're afraid you're going to bite. Are any of you going to bite?
No.
How about flowers to potential teachers?
Yeah, if you'd like to think about teaching, stand up and we'll give you a flower. Barbara Chatterton, Lynn Curry, Jennifer John Cox, Jocelyn Cooper, and Chris Porter. And Anne Urbanski. And lastly, I just want to say one more thing. I've been to several conferences this year and last year and the year before, and one thing I always am left with, one clear knowledge I'm always left with when I leave those places is that Prairie is really unique in how many people are willing to step up and come and help out the RE program. I have so many DRE colleagues who that's their biggest challenge, is finding people who are interested and available and willing to help out. And when they find out that that's not my problem, they're always very jealous. So I want to say thank you to everybody in this room, because everybody in this room in some way supports the RE program and values it for the important work that we do. I think that's it.
Thank you.
I think it would be great if at the end of the service you'd come up and help yourself to flowers. It's practice for the flower ceremony in 2 weeks. And they're from the farmer's market. They're very fresh. And I lug them around the square, so please come up and get some. If you would join me now in a responsive reading, number 652. And let's do, you know, one side and then the other side. I think that works nicely. But I want to point out one thing about this reading. Does anybody know, some of you will know, William Ellery Channing, that's the author of this responsive reading. Who might want to take a guess as to when this was written? Anne? Almost. He died in 42. So I would guess, I couldn't find the exact date because it was probably in some other writing of his. 1820, I would guess, 1820 to 30. So keep that in mind as the language is a tad, old, antiquated, but the ideas, woof. So which side wants to start? I don't care. They do. Oh, she beat you to it. Okay, begin then.
The great end in religious instruction is not to stamp our minds upon the young, but to stir up their own. Not to make them see with our eyes, but to look inquiringly and steadily with their own. Not to give them a definite amount of knowledge, but to inspire a fervent love of truth. Not to form an outward regularity, but to touch inward springs. Not to bind them by irreparable prejudices to our particular set of notions, but to prepare them for impartial, conscientious judging of whatever subjects may be offered to their decision. Not to burden the memory, but to quicken and strengthen the power of thought. Not to impose religion upon them in the form of arbitrary rules, but to awaken the conscience, the moral discernment. In a word, the great end is to awaken the soul to excite and cherish spiritual life.
Was ever a time when we needed to keep those words in mind. It's now. It's time for another treat. And part of the treat is giving your money so that the baskets don't get to the back empty. And remember, half of this goes to Omega School.
Give it away.
Thank you. you, Rosemary and Ruth. That's wonderful. I don't know if we have anyone who wants to be introduced or introduce themselves.
My younger sister, Margie, is visiting us from La Crosse. Oh. And as you can tell, you can probably hear Rory is very happy that she's here.
Thank you, and welcome. Please join me now, then, in singing our closing hymn, all the verses, of course, number 301. Stand as you are willing and able to do so. Campbell, give us the spirit of the child. Give us the child who lives within, the child who trusts, the child who imagines, the child who sings, the child who receives without reservation, the child who gives without judgment. Give us a child's eyes that we may receive the beauty and freshness of this day like a sunrise. Give us a child's ears, that we may hear the music of mythical times. Give us a child's heart, that we may be filled with wonder and delight. Give us a child's faith, that we may be cured of our cynicism. Give us the spirit of the child, who is not afraid to need, who is not afraid to love. Go in peace, greet your neighbor, eat cake, there's leftover cake, take